Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35-39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The title of our message is Watch Out. Watch Out. When you are on the road and somebody calls your attention and tell you, watch out, the person is putting a responsibility of your security and safety on your shoulders. Watch out. Because there are things that you will see that will help you. Watch out. There are things you need to avoid. Watch out. There are things you need to get. The Bible said, do not cast away, do not throw away, do not remove your confidence, your trust, your belief. Don't cast it away because it has a great recompense of reward. And he went on to say, for we have need of patience. While on the watch out or on the lookout for anything tangible from God, there are three words among many others that stand out. And they are very critical. Number one, confidence. Number two, patience or endurance. Number three, the will of God. While you are waiting on God, while you are watching out for anything of God to happen, three things amongst many others are very important. Number one, confidence. Your belief. In Mark chapter 5, a man went to Jesus and complained that the daughter was seriously sick. And was at the point of death that Jesus should come and help the daughter. Why was still with Jesus? Something happened and there were some delays. The scripture said some people came from the house and told him, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter is already dead. Jesus told him, don't be afraid, only believe. In other words, Jesus was telling him, don't dump the confidence that brought you here in the first place. That courage that you had, that strong will that told you that this business is going to work, and now you are facing challenges in the business and it's looking as if the business will not work. But you know when you started, how confident you were. You know how strong-willed you were. And now certain things are showing up, indicating as though the thing will not work. God said, don't cast away your confidence. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. That is confident. Even though my outward man is perishing, even though my body is getting sick and sick and sick, and I'm getting weak by the day, but I know a man whose strength never goes down. Even though my strength is getting loose, but I am confident that there is a God that never gets weak. He said, I know that my Redeemer is alive. I know it. I know it. That is the confidence. The wife came and said, deny God. Curse God to his face. And Job said, I know that he lives. Men may die, but he never dies. Men may fail. He never fails. I know that he lives. Confidence. Don't throw it away. Don't allow the doctor's report to make you change your confession. You thought it was going to be easy until you met a doctor who is very, very renowned, who knows his job, who is very, very okay, who is very, very popular, and he looks at you and gave you a report that almost contradicted everything you have ever believed. God said, don't throw away your confidence. When Jesus was arrested, all the disciples thought he was going to do something, but he didn't do anything to help himself. They saw how he was being molested. They saw how he was being beaten. They saw women spat on him, and he didn't do anything in retaliation. They saw how he was given a heavy cross to carry, and he carried it and fell down. The same Jesus that needed to enter Jerusalem and he didn't have an ass, he sent them, he said, go, you will see an ass that is tied, loose it and bring. And if any man asks a question, tell the owner that I want it. Everything Jesus ever wanted in his ministry on earth was provided supernaturally. The same Jesus that they came to arrest and they saw him disappear in the midst of those who came to arrest him. The same Jesus that was almost embarrassed because there was no money in his pocket to pay tax. And he told Peter, go to the river, throw the hook, and the first fish that will come with money, and we will get this thing done. They saw the same Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane being molested. They saw the same Jesus being slapped. They saw the same Jesus being made almost naked, and he didn't do anything. Their confidence started going down. What has happened to our master? They saw him on the cross lifted up, and men were saying, if you are the Son of God, bring yourself down. And he didn't do anything. And when he finally gave up the ghost, all of his disciples left. They didn't know what to expect. But Mary Magdalene had confidence. She said, he told us, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I shall be rebuilt. She remembered that he told us that he will come back to life. And on the third day, she went to look for him. No wonder she became the first to be aware that he has resurrected. At what point are you beginning to lose your confidence? Your trust in God. Your trust in the things that God showed you. Lord, I have been in this for so many years now, and nothing good seems to be happening. Don't cast away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. We are not of them that draws back. He said, for we have need of patience. When you lose patience, you can't get anything from God. That after we have done the will of God, we might receive the promise. It is confidence that feeds your patience, and it is patience that executes the will of God in your life. Confidence gives energy and stamina to your patience, and it is your patience that will provide the platform for God's will to be done. Praise God. Exodus chapter 32. Reading from verse 1. Watch out. Help me tell your neighbor, watch out. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron
and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not. What has become of him? Living your God-given leader, living your God-given father, living your God-given home, living your God-given marriage, your job, your business, your relationship for another is something you must watch out for. The people. Now, if you are going to go far in life, you must watch out for the people. The people. Saul was given an instruction. Don't do anything until I come by Samuel. Saul that waited and waited and Samuel didn't come. He delayed. In 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Bible says, Saul the king took the censer and went and offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he was through, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said, you have done foolishly. You should have waited for me. And Saul said, the people. The people. When the people could no longer wait, I forced myself to offer the burnt offering. Samuel said, because you have done that, God has rejected you from being a king. The people. Are you beginning to see today that people are living their life for people? A man wants to get married. First and foremost, he's concerned of what the people will say about the woman he wants to marry. And so he begins to look at the people. Let me get a kind of wife that when people see her, they will say, yes, you made a good choice. The people. We no longer think about ourselves. We no longer think about the will of God. It's now the people. The people. Church programs and activities are now being adjusted and arranged for the people. Today we have afternoon service. So that the people that cannot make it in the morning should come in the afternoon. The people. Convenience. Let's just arrange it for their convenience. So somebody who ought to have moved from his house Sunday morning, he says, we are going to have 1 p.m. service. Let me stay at home. By 1 p.m. I will throw down there. The people. Christianity is now made for the people. But can I let you know that every system of man can be adjusted to suit the people, but the kingdom can never be adjusted to accommodate the people. His standard can never be adjusted for the people. The people need to adjust for the kingdom. He said, narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. And if you are going to enter eternal life, you are not going to enter the narrow road the way you are. You don't walk a narrow road anyhow. When you enter a narrow path, you need to be very cautious. The people. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, they gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Now that you are contemplating, dumping what God has given to you for another thing, have you watched out very well? Are you thinking, Moses, the only man they knew, Moses, the one that brought out water from the rock, Moses, the one that stretched out the rock and the Red Sea opened, that same Moses, they couldn't wait for him. If you don't know how to deal with delay, you will miss God somewhere. If you cannot manage delay, you will produce an Ishmael. And every time you produce an Ishmael, he will contend against an Isaac. If you can't manage delay, you will give birth to an Ishmael. And when the Ishmael comes, he will contend with the promise. They couldn't wait for Moses. They gathered themselves to what is available now. What has happened to us? What has happened to you, a child of God? That we can no longer wait for God. We want it now. We want it sharp, sharp. Give me car or I die. Give me breakthrough or I leave you.
Do you know how many persons have gathered to different churches just because they want their needs to be met?
Gathering, gathering. We are just gathering.
They can't wait for Moses anymore. We are looking for what is available now. Hallelujah. Pastor, it's like you are out of fashion. Today, many pastors have become emergency prophets because God has alighted the ministry of the prophet. And so those who used to be reverend, they have become prophets and prophesy. Amen.
The Bible said, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
There are pastors that are not motivated to preach until he has 1,000 people. So it is the number, it is the crowd that gives him anointing. Praise God. Remember that Aaron was always available before. Yet the people didn't gather to Aaron. But the moment Moses delayed, how are you treating that delayed job? How are you treating that delayed conception? How are you treating that delayed promotion? What is it making you to become? Are you becoming more of a child of God, or you are becoming more of the devil because of the delay? Where is the delay pushing you to? What are you beginning to think? Are you sure you are not beginning to contemplate visiting a native doctor without letting anybody know? And said, when the thing happens, I will still go and share a testimony. The Bible said, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows those who are his own. God knows what he is, the one that did. So forget about coming to say, praise the Lord, he has done it again. And everybody will jump with you, God has done it again. God knows he didn't do it. You know how you got it. Praise God. You know how you got it. You know how many persons you tricked and you got it. And you are saying God has done it again. That's why the Bible says some people's work will be accepted, some people's work will be rejected. Hallelujah. How are you treating the delay? See, delay is part of your blessing curves. Delays will come. Stops will come. Temporary stops will come. I'm sure that if you are traveling a long distance, maybe from here to Lagos, if you board a bus, somewhere along the line, they will stop, two of us. Somewhere, the bus will stop and passengers will be expected to just stretch themselves and just relieve themselves. And after maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, the journey continues. So you could be stopped at a very good place. Good food, good ambient. But that doesn't end the journey. No matter how you like the stopover, soon the journey will continue. And if you ever want to get to your destination, you need to forget about the enjoyment of the stopover and get on with your journey. So the delay is just like a stopover. Don't allow it to keep you down. Praise the Lord. Be careful of the we can always do it for ourselves syndrome during delay. I can help myself.
Those guys couldn't wait for Moses any longer. I mean, we can do something for ourselves. Be careful of I can do something for myself mentality. I can help myself mentality. I know where to go. I know who to meet. And God is saying, can you wait a little bit? Be careful of it. Because a lot of times, it will not land you well. Be careful. Don't jump ship yet. Do not look for a new church yet. Just wait. Wait. Just wait a little. Praise God. In Luke chapter 5. Oh, if you read that story, you'll be excited at what was available and yet not written. Chapter 5 from verse 1. when the multitude pressed on him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. How many ships now? Two ships standing by the lake.
But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Three.
And he entered into one. He entered into how many? One of the ship, which was Simon's.
Now, the name Simon was mentioned attached to one ship.
How many ships were there?
Two. So the other one's name was not mentioned. The owner was not relevant. The name was not called. Listen to me. The fact that your name is not called does not mean that you will not become something.
I'm praying that he will thrust out a little from the land.
So Jesus told Peter, push, let's go a little bit. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. 5.
Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. 7. And they beckoned unto their partners. Now listen. When Jesus told Peter, push your boat into the sea, the other partners that saw Peter moving his boat, they also did what? They followed. Even though they were not the ones that were called. They said, this man, wherever he's taking this other one to, we will follow. Because you can't be right inside the sea and beckon on somebody that is far, far at the shore. So the person you must have beckoned must be somebody that is at close range. So they beckoned on their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships.
They filled how many of the ship?
The two ships now were filled, that they began to sink. Verse 8.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord.
9.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken.
Now look at verse 10 is now giving a definition of who the other partners were.
So also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon.
They were there.
Jesus seemed to have ignored them,
but they kept following. They didn't change their mind. Because Jesus came and talked to only Simon, they just said, wherever this man will go, we will follow him.
At first, their names were not mentioned. It was as if they didn't come. It was as if they were not part of the business. But those guys followed.
Follow, follow, make me rich.
Praise God. They just followed. They followed.
Now, their names are mentioned. And the Bible says, and Jesus said unto Simon. Now, sometimes you see the way Jesus behaved. The names have been mentioned, but Jesus said unto Simon again, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. The fact that he has chosen one person does not mean that another person will not become what he or she will become. Jesus told Peter, from now you will catch men. Look at verse 11.
And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, they brought the boat to land, and Jesus told Simon, you will catch men. He didn't tell James and John, you will catch men. He said, Simon, you will catch men. But James and his brother still followed. And look at the story.
At the end, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, woman, behold your son. And son, behold your mother. Who was he talking about?
John.
It wasn't Peter. In the early church, James was the head of the church. It was not Peter. But these were men whose names were not particularly mentioned. Yet, they were patient to follow. They got their ship filled up.
And I'm sure that if John and James were managing one ship and Peter was managing one ship,
It means that the ship that two persons were managing was bigger than the ship that one person was managing. Do you understand my analysis? James and John were in one boat. Peter alone had one boat. So if James and John are managing one boat, that boat must be bigger in capacity than the boat of the man that is managing it alone. So when the miracle came and the Bible said the boat were filled, which one do you think will carry more quantity? The one that the two people were managing, because it was a larger boat, but the both of them were filled. So you can follow to the extent that you become bigger than the person you are following. Amen.
They couldn't wait for Moses. They went to Aaron.
And we must be careful of jumping ship. Let's go back to that Exodus chapter 32. Look at what Aaron did to them. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Beware of anyone who is willing to give you what you want without demanding due process from you. Be careful of any system, of anyone who will want to give you what you want without demanding process. God is a God of process. People always want things to happen for them. There are some that will say, I have stayed in this church long enough to become a pastor. You know, today, certificate have replaced calling. Money have replaced calling. They say, he's a graduate, so we can make him a pastor. Nobody cares whether he has the calling or not. I like education. But the things of God are more than books and certificates. The greatest support any man can have behind the pulpit is the call. The greatest support, the greatest backup you can have behind the kingdom service is the call. If you don't have it and have every other thing, you don't have anything. You are just on your own. Beware of somebody that wants to give you everything you want and is not demanding process. You see, you can become anything here. Forget about the process. You don't need to go through the process. You don't need to go to school. If you have a certificate that makes you a medical doctor without going to the medical school, you are a quack. No matter how many surgeries you perform per day, you are what? A quack. Praise God. You didn't go through medical school. And you say, surgery is a gift in our family. Your own, you can use a kitchen knife and open somebody up. And use thread and sew, and nothing happened. You say, it's a gift. Keep doing it until you are caught. Praise the Lord.
Anything that is not demanding process, this is what you have to go through before you become this. Just now, they met Aaron.
And Aaron provided a solution.
Beware of anyone who will promise to do it for you just to impress you, even when you know it is wrong.
Aaron said, don't worry.
Is it not a God? I'm going to create for you.
Let's go to verse 1 again. We shall go before us, for this Moses, the man that brought us out. Now, this is very important. They said, this Moses. Moses has become the man. When you begin to make common the things that are not common, you are caught in trouble. Moses has become this man. Don't allow God to bless you to the point that you sponsor yourself into disobedience against God. You know, the blessings of God can make you become so rich, so popular, that you are already gradually making yourself a little God.
You are making yourself a little God. One day Nebuchadnezzar walked on the terrace of his house and he said, is this not Babylon that I have built with my hands? And God got angry.
I said, because you have said that, I will send you to the animal kingdom and 7 seasons will pass over you for you to go and learn. Praise God. I will send you to where you need to go and learn. Listen to me. When Nebuchadnezzar went to become an animal, eating grass and sharing food and dragging meal with animals for 7 years, God kept his seat. This our God is too able. He kept his seat. When he came back, one of the first statements he made, he said, now I know that there is a God who rules in heaven. He is the one who raised men, and is also the one who will bring them down. Have you ever heard this word, who dash monkey banana? Praise God. One of the best food of the monkey is what? It's banana. And so sometimes when you say monkey eat banana, or people say, who dash monkey banana? You know why? Monkeys live on trees. Monkeys can climb trees. But ironically, the only tree that a monkey cannot climb is the banana. Praise God. Because when he tries climbing the banana, what happened? He slips down. So even though monkeys live on trees, but they can't climb the banana tree. So every time you see a monkey with a banana, you know that somebody dashed him. Every time you find a monkey with a banana, you just know that what happened? Somebody dash monkey banana. May God make somebody to dash your monkey banana. Now, because there's a place you cannot go until God carries you there. There is what you cannot achieve until God puts it in your hand. It is not in your DNA. There is no qualification. Your background will not allow it. Your qualification will not give it to you. But God himself. God himself. If you leave monkey alone, he will never eat banana till he dies. Because he cannot climb the banana tree. But that is the best food that monkey wants to eat. So every time people go to zoo to visit monkey, they go with banana. Praise God. And God has made it that there will always be people to dash monkey banana. I pray that where you don't have strength, God will supply your strength. What you can achieve for yourself. Be careful. This man, Moses has become this man. When you were trusting God for it, you can come and kneel before the pastor. Shake him with two hands. Now that God has blessed you, and you can fly first class, second class, third class, fourth class. When you see the pastor, hello, Pastor Ani, how are you? How is the work of the Lord? That's a man that God has blessed. The pastor, yesterday I was in Paris. As I was sitting down there, your thoughts just flashed my heart. I said I should call to say hi. The same people that Moses opened the Red Sea for them to pass. They said, this man. Some of us have come to that stage that people that used to honor you before, now they are calling you yeye man. Stupid. Foolish. When you were to marry your wife, she was praying and prophesying and claiming that this man, I must not miss him. Because of the things you came with. 10 years after, things are no longer like that. And he's calling you by your first name plus your surname. Peter, the son of John. I'm giving you a warning. Darling has disappeared. Oni has taken a flight. Praise God. Peter, the son of John. Be careful with me. This man. They said, this man, Moses, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We don't know what has become of him. Don't make common what God is calling precious. If God has placed honor on something, learn to place honor on that thing. Every time you dishonor what God is honoring, you are calling for trouble. Moses has become a nobody before them. I pray that you will not get to that point where you can no longer listen to your pastor, where you can no longer hear God. He said, Pastor, forget this matter. I am in this business. I know what to do. Amen. Aaron said, verse 2, bring your earrings and let me make gods for you. And I said here, be careful that you are not creating a miracle for yourself. So men of God have been asking God for anointing. God, give me anointing. I want to be a miracle worker. And they have been waiting and crying and crying and crying and crying. And God is saying, wait, I will give to you. They can't wait anymore. So they are beginning to create miracle for themselves. Don't create one miracle for yourself. Allow God to create it. Allow God to make it happen. If people are not falling, don't push them down. Praise God.
It is not how many persons that fall when you lay hands on them that decide whether you are anointed or not.
Jesus prayed for a man who was blind and asked him, can you see? And the man said, I see men like trees walking. And Jesus prayed for him the second time and he could see clearly. Jesus had to pray for somebody two times. It is not the first day you dig the ground that you find water. Amen. So I don't have to force the miracle to happen. If you can be patient, it will come to pass. One of the greatest work of a pastor is to keep you in the mood until the miracle comes to pass. I don't have a problem with whether it will come to pass. I know it will come to pass. But my greatest work is how to keep you in the right frame of mind until the promise is fulfilled. Praise God.
As far as it coming to pass is concerned, I am too confident. God will do it.
But I want to keep you ready and prepared for it, because it will come to pass. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, somebody. Don't make a God for yourself. Don't arrange a wife for yourself. Don't arrange a husband.
Say, I've been trusting the Lord, and my friends are mocking me too much. Let me get pregnant for a man, and he will marry me. And so you just get pregnant. It won't help you. You are the one creating it for yourself. Praise God.
Don't create a miracle for yourself. Don't force it to happen. People are getting it for themselves.
Listen to me. If God opens your eyes to see what believers do in order to have a testimony, you will shed tears.
Praise God. Terrible things are going on behind.
Some of us, it is only our suit, our tie, that makes us look like a human being. Aaron said, come.
Make us gods. And we must be careful. The people want us to make gods for them.
Your wife will say, make me a god. Your husband said, make me a god.
Give me this thing. Make it happen.
Are your mates not living in their houses now?
Make it happen.
Be careful. Be careful. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. When strange things like money, sex, intimacy are demanded from you for your deliverance, you have to watch out. When people begin to ask for strange things before you can have a miracle, be careful.
You know, some of us are looking for places where they will ask us for such strange things. And that's when you believe that it will work. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings. Before you cross the Red Sea, did you break off anything? When God brought manna, did you break off anything? Why do you have to break off your golden earrings? That of your wives and your daughters.
Just to get a God. Be careful when demands are made. Olive oil in the market, maybe it's 250 or 300. And the pastor is selling in the church for 600. And say, this one, there is something, they are deceiving you. Did you hear me?
The Bible said, freely you have received, and freely you should give.
When a man places anything on the anointing of God, you have to know that there is something different from God working it.
I tell you the truth, I lie not. It may work, it may happen.
But listen to me, God cannot work outside his process. The spoken word of God cannot contradict the written word of God.
You are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, and the man of God wants to sleep with you first.
And you know you can make this Bible say the things that you want. They say, this is what the Bible says.
And a lot of us are running towards that direction. There was a time that we were in a season where people were demanded to practice what the Bible says. But today we are living a time where people are demanded to tap.
We no longer practice the Bible. We are tapping into grace. Tap. All you need is tap. You don't practice the word of God. And so we have Christians that devils can mess them up everywhere and anywhere, even though they speak in tongues.
Because all we are taught to do is to do what? Tap. So a fornicator will bring 10,000 and do what? Tap. An adulterer will bring 20,000 and do what? Tap. It's tapping grace. All we are doing is tapping. We are not having anything. May the devil not meet you empty. May the devil not meet you with your heart without anything. What you tap does not last, but what you create will remain. Jesus said, everyone that thirsts, let them come and drink, and out of their belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. I've always said, I want to raise Christians that when the devil pays you a visit in your house at night, you will deal with the devil. In the morning, you come and say, sir, the devil came, I dealt with him. This is the certificate of my victory. That's the kind of Christians I want. Not the one that any small thing you run and leave your house. If you keep running like that, before you know, cockroaches and rats will take over your house. Grow to the point that you can confront the enemy. Get to the point that you can stand like David and said, you come against me with sword, you come against me with spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts that you defy. Today, God will put you in my hand and I will deal with you. Hallelujah. What are they demanding from you? They are asking for many things. And today, strange things are being demanded for the things of God to be done. Pastors are demanding for money, demanding for fees, demanding for many things. And the children of God are blindly giving it to them. And say, provided I get it, provided I get it, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I know some of you that will not give to the original, but you can give everything to the fake. When you see a genuine man of God, you won't give anything. But when the fake one shows up, you drop. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Our God is not a talkative. That he is not talking does not mean he's not walking. And in the moment of God's silence, everybody is going through an examination. When the Lord is quiet, he's putting you through an examination. He doesn't talk all the time, but he walks all the time. So if God has not said anything, it's not the same thing as God is not doing anything. Listen to this. You will not only lose what you have, but you will also lose what you have gotten for your wives, your children, and invariably mortgaging your future just to get on today. Whenever any man takes what God is supposed to receive, that person is already in error. Aaron said, give me from the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, bring them unto me. Be careful that you are not taking what God is supposed to take. Be careful that you are not receiving what God is supposed to receive. May God deliver you from people that will take away from you and never add anything to your life. Will you not be patient and say, God, if you will not do it, let me not have it? Will you not be patient to say, God, I will wait until my chain come? David said, I waited for the Lord, and he inclined his ears to my prayers and heard me. I waited for him. Wait, he will give you a child. Wait, he will give you a home. Wait, he will give you a job. Wait, help me tell your neighbor, wait. He will do it. God will come through for you. God will come through for you. You don't need to sell what you have to get it. You don't need it. You don't need to sleep with all the pastors in town. You don't need it. Praise the Lord. I am praying that no one here will miss God. Jesus is coming soon. Let me rather go to Jesus and go to heaven without a shoe. Then I have all the shoes in town and I didn't make it. It won't profit you anything. Amen. Look at verse 3. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Verse 4. And he received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, this be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Don't come to that point where you are forgetting the God that helped you yesterday. They broke off their golden earrings. If you don't use the tool of God in your hand to do the work of God, If you don't use the opportunity, the position, the status, the beauty that God has given to you to please God, you will use it to form a strange God for yourself. If you don't use what God has given to you for Him, you will soon use it to glorify the devil. Some women are sleeping around today simply because they are beautiful. The beauty. The beauty. Everywhere she passed, men were dropping their heads. I have never seen this kind of beauty before. And it's getting into her head. Gradually, she's losing respect for the things of God. Gradually, she's losing respect for any man or any woman that will tell her the way you are going is not right. After all, everyone is confirming that I am beautiful. If you will not find use for what God has given to you, to God, the devil will find a use for it. And when the devil finds a use for it, it is not for your benefit at all. The devil can give you an assignment to use the blessing of God to execute it. And so many persons today are using what God gave to them to serve in the camp of the devil. When God never gave you a car, you could stay at home. Your children could enjoy you. Now that you have one, you hardly returns back home on time. Your wife is beginning to pray, I wish my husband never had a car. What are you using what he gave you for? If you can't use it to give him glory, they received it from them and use it to make a golden calf. Hey! In Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses, I will give the people favor. And whatever the demand of their taskmasters will be given to them. And they went and demanded for it. The same thing God gave to them. The same blessing. The same blessing. The same open door is what they are using against God. At what point are you using what he gave to you against him? At what point are you using his blessing against him? At what point are you beginning to make heaven regret for making you who you are? At what point? There was a time that God would not look for you. Every morning, every afternoon, every night, every week you are in his presence. But now that he has blessed you, you have become too busy for him. You have become too scarce for him. Are you sure you are not removing the tools that God gave to you to make a God? And they said, this be thy gods. Let no one introduce you to something different from what you used to know. This is the God my fathers introduced me to. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Friends, we are living in a time where people are introducing people to strange gods. Strange things. This be thy gods, O Israel. And come to think of it, it was Aaron. Aaron the high priest. It was Aaron that gave them a strange God. It is not everywhere you see boldly written on the altar, Jesus is Lord here, that Jesus is actually Lord there. It is not everywhere you see boldly written in the altar, holiness before the Lord, that holiness has anything to do there. This be thy gods. This be thy gods. The tool in your hand, what are you using it for? Do you still remember God gave it to you? Deuteronomy 8:18, and thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to make wealth. Watch out. When people will tell you that God cannot do this one, watch out. Watch out when the devil will speak to you and say, what's the need of giving all this offering? Watch out. Watch out when the enemy will whisper to you and said, tithing is an olden days thing.
You can still prosper without it. Watch out.